Psalms 103, David is exhorting us and that to praise the Lord in this chapter right here. And Psalms 103, you should know this verse. The Bible said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for this morning. And Lord, we pray that You'd help us now. While we stand to preach, it's not in my power that I'm going to try to do this, but Lord, that it's in Yours. And we're leaning and we're looking to heaven and that for some help this morning. Lord, we ask that if there's one here that's lost, we pray that they'd get saved. If somebody needs encouragement, we pray that they'd find encouragement in You. And Lord, it's just been a joy to be here this morning. And now, Lord, I'm so glad You're there. And I'm glad You're our friend. And I'm glad that, Lord, when You do look down from heaven, that You see Your darling Son upon my life. And I thank You for that this morning. Lord, as we now preach, I pray now for unction from the Holy One. And might You be honored and glory in it all. And Lord, we'll give You the glory for it. Save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You'll be seated this morning. I want to continue to read there in verse 3. And the Bible said, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins." Boy, I mean, ain't that good? Amen. "He ain't dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He hath removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field. So he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting." Boy, that's good. "Upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." If I could preach for just a little while this morning, that's simply what I want to preach on, is bless the Lord, O my soul. Today, if we look at that statement, we find that statement five times in the Bible. You'll find it in this chapter, and then in Psalms 104, you'll find that the psalmist said it again. And that word "bless" in this aspect right here in these passages of Scripture simply means to praise or to glorify or to magnify the Lord. And this morning, that's what we've tried to do in singing, is to bless and that the name of the Lord, to lift Him up. Can I say this morning, I'm getting ahead of myself, but He's worthy to be praised and He's worthy to be blessed. And listen, He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Listen this morning, everything about us, I ought to praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, from the deepest part, on the inside, we should want to extol and bless Him because of what He's done. And we'll get there here in a minute. The Bible said in Psalms 34, David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth." Can I tell you this this morning quickly by way of introduction. It's a good thing to praise the Lord. Do you know that? Some of you wouldn't even know how to praise the Lord some days because we wait. And I'm right here with you until things get real good. And then we want to praise the Lord. Hey, can I tell you this morning, the Bible said in Psalms 54 that I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Do you know that it's good for you to praise the Lord? My wife gave me a warning before I left the house, Brother Jeff. She said, don't get off the stage while you're preaching and spit on over everybody. Listen this morning. So I'm going to, I need a gate up here somewhere. Amen. Listen this morning. It's good for us to do that. Hey, it's good for us to be reminded that it's not us that's brought the blessings in our life, but it's Him. Listen, it's good for us and that to do those things because He's worthy and that to be praised. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10, we find at the end time. Listen, the church is gathered before Him, the 24 elders. And the Bible said the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever. Ain't you glad He lives forever and ever? Listen, because He lives forever and ever, I live forever and ever. Thank God for that. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Hey, listen this morning, I'm not worthy of nothing except of death and hell, but He's worthy of every praise that this earth and world and the inhabitants will give to Him. He's worthy of it this morning. We come in the other day, there was a rock sitting out there that was painted and sitting at the front door. And it said, if you don't praise Him, I will. God's going to get His glory one way or another. He's going to get His praise. And can I tell you this morning, He's worthy of every bit of it. Listen, I want you to look quickly while I'm still in the way of introduction. Look what He said in verse 1. He said, all that is within me, I'll bless His holy name. Can I tell you this morning that God has a name like no other name that's ever been given. Listen, now, if you go over there, when the Lord taught His disciples to pray, what did He say? He said, here's how you pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Hey, listen, He's got a holy name, don't He? Listen, the God in heaven has got a holy name. Hey, listen, this world has took His name and turned it into a curse word and they take it in vain. Listen, He said over there in the book of Deuteronomy and in the book of Exodus, I'll not hold that man guiltless that takes my name in vain. He said, look, you'll be guilty of that. And be to, hey, God's got a holy name this morning. He told Abraham, I'm the Lord God Almighty. But He got over there and that to Moses. And he said, I introduced myself and that to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob as God Almighty. But he said, Moses, I am Jehovah. Listen, I am that I am. And he said, I'm going to do the work, Moses. And God's got a holy name. But boy, when she got to singing about Jesus this morning, didn't that do something to you on the... It done something to me on the inside. I'll be honest with you, because boy, I need Jesus. And you need Him too. Boy, when I'm in trouble, boy, who do I cry out to? Boy, Jesus, Jesus. There ain't nobody else to cry out to. Boy, I'm glad I've got a Heavenly Father with an advocate seated right beside Him right there that I can cry out in His name, a name that's like no other name. Hey, listen, the book of Philippians over there said that God gave Him a name that is greater and higher than any name, that in His name every knee should bow, every tongue I should confess. He's got a name. Listen, 1 John chapter 2, as I was looking at this, I thought about His name. Little John over there said that He was Jesus Christ, the righteous. Boy, what a name. And we ought to just praise His name. You know, we sing that old verse sometimes. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Well, no greater song ever written, I really believe, right there. And a truer statement right there. Boy, we get to talking about Jesus. They say, hey, what's so important about it? Hey, listen, when I knelt that night to get saved, it was Jesus that saved me. It was Jesus that brought me in that by the Holy Spirit. Hey, listen, it's Jesus that resides on the inside. It's all about Him this morning, amen. No wonder David looked up to heaven and pinned it down and he said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. But I want you to look. He begins to tell us, and here's why I want to preach at this morning. He begins to tell us Why? To bless the Lord. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, if you look out there, you'll find that there's a colon at the end of that statement. And that colon tells us that there's going to be a list, or there's going to be an explanation come as to why we should do that. I want you to look why we were to bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, he just tells us to bless his holy name. That's why he said, just bless his name. Don't give us a reason why. He just says, bless his name. And that's what we ought to do. Don't have to have a reason. We ought to just do it this morning. But I want you to look in verse 3. Now look right here what he said. Number 1, first of all, he said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. You know why I'm going to bless the Lord? I'm forgiven this morning. You know why Seth got up here and sung in my Father's eyes, I am the perfect son because I've been forgiven. Listen this morning, you know, when he looks down from heaven, he don't see me, but he sees the Son. He sees me being forgiven because of the Son. What was it he said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32? And he said, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know why I'm going to praise him this morning and raise my hand to heaven and say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Hey, I've been forgiven this morning of my sins. I didn't realize I was getting all that when I got saved. I'll be honest with you, church, I really didn't. I knew I was lost. I knew I needed to get saved. I come and got saved. But boy, when I got saved, my sins, I got forgiven. I mean, the deck was stacked against me. What Adam done back in the garden over there when he ate of that tree that his wife brought to him. And he dropped all humanity and that all off into sin. The Bible said that in all, that in the first Adam we all die, but in the last Adam we're all made alive. But when we got saved, listen, what is amazing to me is when I got saved by simply coming and asking the Lord to save me, he just forgave me. He just wiped the slate clean. There wasn't no work to be done. Do you know there's still no work to be done? That's the great thing about grace. It was a free gift. He said, if you'll come, I'll save you. But in all that, I got saved, I got forgiven, I got justified. I stand before the holy God this morning that we're to praise his holy name as one that has never sinned. I am his son, and if you're saved, you're his son and his daughter this morning, forgiven of all your sins. You realize that Christ went to Calvary to pay for our sins. But that night when I cried out, I got forgiven of my sins. You couldn't do it yourself. But boy, he done it. You know why I want to bless the Lord, O my soul? Who forgiveth all mine iniquities? I've been saved. Take your Bible and go over to Matthew chapter 18 this morning. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 18. I preached on this sometime back. I would have said just a week or two ago, but it's been a while since we've been in the church house. It seemed just like a week or two ago. But look at Matthew chapter 18. And look in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times. And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. And therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. You know, there's always an accounting day. The Bible said in verse 24, and when he began to reckon, you know, the Lord always reckons. He always begins to look and he always begins to reckon. And one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. And when we preached on that, we looked at how that was an astronomical amount. It was an unpayable amount. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. There's always got to be a payment made. No matter what. There's always got to be a payment made to the Lord. You've got to remember that. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him. And watch what your Bible says. And forgave him the debt. If you go down in verse 32, you'll find that he said, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me to. I'm not sure how much I understood as a 14-year-old boy. I'm glad that I understand some things now. Ain't you glad you didn't have to understand everything the night you got saved? Well, I'm telling you, that's why even a child can come and get saved. And listen, you ain't going to understand it. It's what Jacob was talking in Sunday school this morning. We're to strive to understand, and we're to seek the Holy Spirit and let Him help us understand Scripture. But I'm just going to tell you, until God opens it and reveals it, we're going to struggle to understand some things. But I am glad that He will open and reveal it. But I'm telling you what, if you want to know, He will help you know. But I'm glad that I have learned through that book right there that the night that I come to get saved, I was guilty before God. And my sins was stood guilty. And God was having a reckoning day that day. God was having a judgment day in my heart. And I didn't realize everything that was going on. But listen, when I come to Him, He forgave me. The Bible said right here, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Ain't you glad that the Lord's got compassion? Hey, if He didn't have compassion, He'd have never left heaven and come down here. Well, I'm telling you, we ought to just thank the Lord. I'm not telling you God's swing from the chandeliers, but I'm going to tell you every now and again, you ought to squeak out amen or say, preacher, can you just hold up for just a second before we sing the next song and say, I just want to testify a little while. That's why I like to come in here on Wednesday nights sometimes and Sunday nights and boy, just open the floor up and just let folk testify. It'll do you good and folks sitting around you too. It does this preacher good to listen to you testify. Listen, what did he say? He said, here's why we bless the Lord, because He's forgiven our iniquities. I'm forgiven in Christ today. I hope you're saved. I hope your sins are forgiven. You know, when that prodigal son come home in Luke chapter 15, his old dad just forgave him. He ran out there and met him out in the road, fell on him, and just, I mean, he just wiped the slate clean. He just forgave him. I want you to look at what he said. Go on over in Psalms 103, number 2. Look number 2, what did he say in verse 4? He said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Now listen, I'll come back to verse 3. Don't get excited. Listen, he said, who redeemed me? We're redeemed. Not only are we forgiven, but we've been paid for. You know, at Calvary, me and you got paid for, didn't we? I mean, listen, at Calvary, when Jesus went and died for me and you, the Bible said in 1 Peter 1 and 18, he said, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, He paid for me and took me away, and that from the devil, amen? But you know what? When He redeemed me, I not only got paid for, I not only got ransomed in that out of the hand of the devil, I become His. You see, that's the thing about redemption. And not only did we get paid for, Christ paid for my sin at Calvary. And if you'll come and you'll trust Him for that payment that was made at Calvary, listen, He will save you and forgive you and make you part of the family of God. I love to sing that old song out of the Blueback book sometimes. I am His and He is mine. I'm His. He redeemed me. He redeemed me. That means He bought me. When you buy something, does that not make it yours? Amen? Trust me. When I buy something, I want it or I wouldn't be giving the money. I mean, listen, as cheap as I better quit. Listen, I was going to pick on Paul Henry, but I'm going to quit right now. Listen, when I buy something, it's mine. I paid for it. And listen, it's even better. It's even better when you work for it and earn that money and you save it and then you go buy what you want. Now you think about that for just a second. You think about what Christ Jesus had done. He left heaven for me and you and come down here and paid my debt. Amen? Listen, He paid my debt and your debt. And we can't even crack a smile or look up to heaven and say, Lord, I just want to thank You for saving me. Boy, He's worthy of it all, ain't He? What did He say? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? From the destruction of hellfire and judgment. From the destruction of an eternal life, of where you spend it, or an eternal death, out of where you spend it, an eternal lake of fire. From the destruction that Satan wreaks, and that upon folks' lives when they get into sin. And listen, ain't you glad you got saved from that mess?
I'm tickled to death. Hey, listen, I got saved at 14 years old. I can see a difference from that day forward. I ain't always done right. I've been in trouble. I've done wrong. But listen, I could have been out in the world. I'd already died and went to hell. If he hadn't come by and saved me that night, he's worthy of our praise this morning. Where would you be? I think about that sometimes, Brother Jeff. Where would I be if it hadn't been for the Lord? What kind of life would I have had it not been for Him? Listen, I understand the Christian life is not always a bed of roses. Let me say this right. But it's always the best life. It's always the best life. Why? Because when you look up to heaven and cry out to Jesus, Jesus, and He'll see us through, won't He? I love being in Christ. The Bible said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. Boy, I tell you, when I got saved and got forgiven of my sins, I tell you what, I got in Him. In Him. Well, I'm telling you, all this worked out so good this morning in my Father's eyes. In Him, I am the perfect Son. Go back to verse 3. Then look what He said. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and then who healeth all thy diseases. I'm going to preach that just like it says it right there. I believe the Lord heals today. I do. I don't believe that I have divine healing, but I believe that there's one in heaven that's got divine healing. And I believe that with all my heart. Listen, have you ever... I'm going to give you a few examples this morning while I preach, but listen, the night that my colon ruptured, and listen, I had all the classic signs of having a ruptured colon. I mean, I really did. I was hurting, and hurting bad. I'll never forget, it was like 10 after 7, it was on a Wednesday night, I'd sent Kelly on to church, and I believe Brother Frankie Roberts was preaching for me that night, and I remember that I'd learned this little trick from Kelly. When people ain't paying attention, you send them one word at a time and text it to them. You know, like, where? Sin. R? Sin. You? Sin. At. I was trying to get her attention, you know, I know she's up here in the choir singing, you know. And about 10 after 7 when my colon ruptured, I was up walking up and down the in the house there. And we had a whole orange cat at that time. And he made every step I did. Now, it's amazing what you remember, you know. And finally, I got my mom and dad to come and take me to the hospital. And I had all the classic signs of having a ruptured colon. I mean, I was hurting all the way up in my side, all the way up in my shoulder. And they said that's where the air was leaking out. And running the nerves and coming all the way up in your shoulder. So I had all the signs. I'm going somewhere, okay? And they said, they put me in that hospital and they packed me full of antibiotics. And 6 weeks later, they cut out my colon. But you know, before I went and had my colon cut out, the doctor done a colonoscopy on me and looked at it. And he said, I couldn't hardly find the place to where your colon was supposed to have ruptured. He said, I don't think your colon ruptured. So when they finally went in the next day and cut that one spot out and they sent it off to be checked, when I got the report back, they said there was no cancer there, which, boy, we're tickled with that. Amen. But they also put on there, we don't think your colon ruptured. Now, I had all the classic signs and symptoms for a ruptured colon. What are you getting at? I'm going to tell you, that night, when I was laying out there in the hospital, you all were down here praying. You see what I'm getting at? See, I think the Lord touched that thing. I was having some trouble the other day. And boy, me and Kelly, we just got to praying. And listen, the problems I was having, I've been cut on twice because of it. And we just got to praying. And you know, the next thing, you know, I got better. He said, Richard, do you really believe that the Lord done that? I really do. I understand that. Listen, the Bible said in James 5, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and then pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I still believe that if we'll pray and seek the Lord, He can touch our physical body this morning. You may not believe that. I believe that. I believe the Bible teaches that. And He said, look in verse 3. He said over here, He said, who healeth all thy diseases.
Now I know that when the children of Israel would get out in sin, if you look back in the Old Testament over there, and they'd get out in sin, God would send plagues and send pestilences. And if you go look in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 over there, after Solomon gets done with the dedicatorial prayer, and the Lord come by, and he said, Solomon, he said, if I send pestilences, if I shut up the heavens and it don't rain, he said, if you'll just come over here and pray, I'll hear. That's where we get that great verse out of verse 14. If my people, which is called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. How many of you? You say, why don't the Lord always touch? I'm going to tell you, for the saved person, you'll get healed one way or another. It's either here or there, but you'll get healed. You'll get that perfect body one day after a while. And I don't understand the mind of God sometimes. I really don't, but I know that He still touches, and I praise Him for that. I praise Him for that. Have you ever? I'm looking across. I put my glasses on as I say that. I'm looking across the house. I look at a lot of you sitting in here, and I know your stories. And I know your prayers. And sometimes you have prayed, and God has answered over a sickness, whether it was you or somebody else. But you know, I know there's times, that, and I'm getting into something that I don't have an answer for right here, okay? Like I said, I don't know everything. But, you know, there's times that we've prayed, and it ain't that God answered. It's just that God said, no, it ain't going to happen that way. And in our depths of sorrow, He come by. Now, if you want to talk about Him being worthy to be praised this morning, and I know I'm getting off track, but it'll work. Listen, in our depths of sorrow, He is still worthy to be praised. Because He held us and helped us either through that sickness or through the sickness of a loved one. And they may have died and went on to be with the Lord. But listen, He held us and kept us. Look at what He said. He said, Lord, You crown us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth Thy mouth with good things, so that Thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Can I say number four? That we ought to praise Him. We ought to bless His holy name for what we have. For stuff. For things. The food we eat. Huh? Boy, you never thought that praising for the food we eat would be something that we'd even be concerned with in the past 2 months. You know, my cupboard's never went empty. Never has. In all the years that we've been married for almost 26 years. And in 26 years, my cupboard's never went bare. It's never went empty. I've never laid down hungry. Because I had to. If I went to bed hungry, it's because I've chose to. But man, just my cupboard is full. I sat there in my study last night. I thought about the home that me and my wife lives in. It's a modest house. But it's good for me and her. I like it. I think she likes it. But yeah, it's not an extravagant house. But you know what? The Lord allowed us to do that. I couldn't have done that. Man, I was 27 years old when I built that house. You know, when I built my house, Brother Jeff, I was 27 years old making $12 an hour and pastoring this church. I don't even know what my wife was making. She wasn't making much. But you know, the Lord just paved a way and made a way for us to do that. I don't understand Him sometimes. You know, when a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with Him. I'm not telling you I'm always right, but I sure do hope that my ways please the Lord. And He blesses me beyond what I could ever imagine. I look at my family. I've got a good family. I was raised in a good home. You ought to bless Him for that. Say, Lord, listen, if you was raised in a Christian home,
Listen, you ought to say, Lord, I'm so glad you let me be raised in a Christian home that took me to church. Listen, me and my wife about had the same testimony. We had parents that loved us and loved God. I had wanted to see us raised right and do right. Listen, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for this church. Hey, listen, if you don't have that kind of family, you thank God for what you got now. You may not have the same past that I've got, but listen to me. You ought to thank God for what you got now and the future that's standing in front of you. I thank God for the church this morning. When's the last time you said, Lord, I just want to thank you for the church? I told my wife, I said, I'm so excited to get to go see everybody. Man, I just love you all. I mean, I just love coming to church. I love talking to you. I love it. Why? Man, it's as iron sharpeneth iron, showed up the countenance of a friend, the Bible tells us. Some of you, the Lord's gave you a great job. And you ought to say, Lord, I'm thankful. You've allowed me to make money and gave me health. To make money. You realize all that money you're making and hoarding up somewhere. You know, what's the old saying? Get all you can all you get, and sit on top of the can, I guess. I'm having a little fun right there. It's okay to laugh, all right. You start talking about money, people get a little iffy there. But you know, that job you're working right now, that you either love or you hate, well, you ought to thank God for it. Well, there's a lot out there right now. I ain't got one. He said what? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good thing? He takes care of us. And then verses 6 and 7, he shows up. Look, he said, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment. For all that are oppressed, he hath made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Stay with me. I'm fixing to close this here in a couple more points. Notice what he said right here. He shows up. You know, those that follow him and do the right thing, he's out. What did he say right there? He said, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He'll come and take up for you. And you know, we think sometimes, you know, the Bible tells us over in Psalms 37 over there that the evil, you know, the wicked, they spread out themselves like a green bay tree. You know, they get real big and they prosper. But you know, if you look in that next verse, it says that then you can't find them anywhere. The wicked come and go, but the righteous, well, God blesses. But then he shows up in his work. He said he made his ways known to Moses in his acts and children. How many times has God just come by and showed up in your life? When you needed him to come by, whether it was an answered prayer, or whether it was you wasn't even thinking about something, then all of a sudden, God just shows up, blows in on the scene, and takes care of it all. Boy, we ought to praise him for that. Just praise him for that. But last of all, and this is where the chapter actually gets long at. If you begin to look in through verses 8 through 18, what does David begin to talk about? He begins to talk about his mercy. And if there's ever a reason that me and you ought to praise God, it ought to be for his mercy. And not only for his mercy. You know, David spends a lot of time in these verses on God's mercy and grace right here. He says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. You know what mercy is. Most of y'all know this. Mercy is God's hold, his hand holding back the judgment that we deserve. And his grace is him holding out his hand and giving us what we do not deserve. That's God's mercy and grace. And so David, in verses 8 through 18, he says, the Lord is merciful and slow to anger. Why ain't you glad God ain't quick to wrath? But boy, he's slow to anger. You know why he loves mercy. You know, the Bible said in the book of Lamentations over there, he said it's the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Not our faithfulness. Listen, Jeremiah looked up to heaven and he said, Lord, it's because of you we're not consumed. Why? Because he's merciful. How many times would have God been justified in wiping you out? You messed up. You know you messed up. You know you fouled that thing up. And boy, you knew it. But yet God in His mercy, just when you come back, what did He say? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. You know, when we got saved, we experienced salvation, but we experienced mercy and grace. Go over and look in Ephesians chapter 2, and you see all about His mercy and all about His grace. The Bible said, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. But you find, as we read right here, that He is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He'll never run out. He will not always chide. You know, that word chide means to quarrel with, or, you know, to argue with. And neither will He keep His anger forever. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Think if God just decided one day, I'm going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to give you. Some of you sitting in here think you probably don't deserve a whole lot of justice. I've been pretty good, no matter how good we've been. We all deserved hell. Even after I've got saved, I have deserved the wrath of God in my life for messing up things and doing wrong. And I mean, but boy, in His mercy. And you know why? Look down here in verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. How many times you mom and dads looked at your child and they've messed up, and you were probably a little angry, maybe a whole lot angry, and you was justified in your anger, but yet you said they're a kid, they're learning. You know, kids have to learn. Children have to learn. Now sometimes you got to give instruction for them to learn, and He's gave us instruction, has He not? And sometimes there is punishment that comes when we struggle to learn. But you know, sometimes some of you all have just leaned down to your children and said, now, here's how you do it. I showed you this once, but I'm going to show you again. Or don't do it this way. I've told you once, but I'm going to tell you again. You didn't get tore up with them. You didn't get bent out of shape with them. You know what you've done? You just had mercy on them. And you were gracious to them. How many times has God done us that? You better be thankful God's that way. You're talking about needing to praise Him. He's been merciful to me. Still merciful to me. He said in Psalms 36, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. That's how big His mercy is this morning. Just like a father pitieth his children. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, his flower, as the flower of the field. So he flourisheth. He gets big before the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. We're just here today and gone tomorrow. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. He's not run out of mercy, and He ain't going to run out of mercy. I could hang around on His mercy all day, but because of His mercy, He forgave my sins and He wiped the slate clean. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. What did we start with? We started with our iniquities being forgiven. Have they been forgiven today? Boy, if they've been forgiven, we ought to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. You've been redeemed and bought. You ought to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. He touches and heals, and we ought to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. He gives and provides, even when we're not worthy of it, friend. And we're never worthy of it, but I mean, just gives us health and gives us the ability to go to work and make money and do. And I mean, it is amazing. And we ought to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. His mercy. The times He showed up and helped. The times that He's come through in the nighttime and boy, just held us while we wanted to cry and did cry. But He was there the whole time. We were to look up to heaven and say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Ain't He worthy of it all today? Let's bow our heads this morning. Heather, if you'll come to the piano this morning. Jacob, get you a song, son. How many times has He gave us happiness when we really didn't even deserve happiness? And put joy in our heart when times was hard. All I want us to do, church, as we leave today, is when you go out or when you get by yourself somewhere, and you can do it in here, I look up to heaven and say, Lord, I just want to bless Your name for what You've done. We're so undeserving of everything that He does for us. But we were to say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. This morning I'd encourage us to not only have a prayerful heart, but have a praising heart unto Him for what He's done. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much this morning for helping us. Lord, for all these dear people that's come, we pray, Lord, that You would help them. And Lord, might we have the mind and the heart to be like David and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, I'll bless Your holy name. Lord, I ask this morning, You'd help the one that needs help. Maybe there's somebody here that's lost, that they need to get saved. And I pray they'd get saved this morning. They'll understand and come and know what it means to experience Your mercy and Your grace, and not having their iniquities forgiven. Lord, I pray this morning that You'd just help the one that needs help. And we thank You for all You've done. Bless Your holy name this morning for all this in it.